The reading that we just heard this morning and the song that we just sang tells us that our faith gives us victory. Not only that, it is in fact a victory that overcomes the world. As Christians, we understand that as servants of God, we are allowed to enjoy the journey of life in a better way. Because as Christians, we don't have to think about many of the sins that we see out in the world. We have consecrated ourselves to the Lord. We have decided among ourselves that we are not going to follow the ways of the world, that we are going to follow God and His precepts. And as a result, God has promised us victory. Victory over sin and victory over death. It is a course to live by, the faith that you and I have. It means that we live with a trust and with a confidence in God. You know, over the past 2,000 years, followers of Jesus have been called by different names. For example, we are called disciples. A disciple, of course, simply means a learner. We have someone that we follow that teaches us God's Word. Sometimes we are called believers. In the book of Acts, many times there were spoken about more men and women who obey the Lord and added to the number. They are believers. We also know that in the book of Acts, we are referred to as the way. Jesus Himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So those who believe in Him are of His way. At Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians, which means Christ ones. It means that we belong to Christ. It means that we are one of His possessions. It means that He has purchased us with a price, not with silver and gold, but with His blood. Paul referred to Christians as a saint. A saint is one who is set apart. A saint is one who is sanctified for God. We are also known as children of God, the family of God, instruments of righteousness, living sacrifices, royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. These are words that are given in description for Christians throughout the New Testament. And each one of these titles describe a distinctive and different characteristics for those who follow God. In our text this morning, we were given another name by which we can be called. Did you catch it? It was the name Overcomer. A Christian, a disciple, a child of God is one who overcomes. Overcomes what? Well, we'll talk about that as we go on. First of all, let's look at some of the scriptures that talks about what it means to be an overcomer. Christians are those who are not overcome by evil, but by those who overcome evil with good. Romans 12 and verse 21. Revelation 2 and verse 7. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life. Revelation 3, 21. To him that overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Revelation 3 and verse 5, he who overcomes will be dressed in white and will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. And finally, Revelation 21 and verse 7, he who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You know, when we read passages such as this, it really makes us want to become overcomers. Because we're overcoming something that is evil, something that is temporary, something that will go away. And we now are in line to receive something from God. And that is such a wonderful thing to know, that we overcome this in order to receive God. Well, let's define this word overcomer. If you go to Webster's Dictionary, you'll find that an overcomer is one who gets better. An overcomer is one who excels. An overcomer is one that completes his task. An overcomer is one who accomplishes his task. He is one who wins and one who conquers. If you go back to the original Greek language, which the New Testament was written in, it comes from the Greek word nikao, which means to conquer or to prevail or to win the victory. Now, the next question has to be, if we are overcomers, how do we know that we are an overcomer? How can we do it? How can we overcome the problems and the pressures that we deal with day in and day out in this life? Well, the first thing we need to know is that there is a problem. You know, you would be surprised how many people in the world today go through life and they deal with all the problems in the world and they don't even realize that they are dealing with problems of life. An overcomer is one that understands that there is a problem, that there is something that is standing in our way of living a godly life. An overcomer is one who understands that Satan is continually working to present us with yet another problem, another barrier, another obstacle, another discouragement, another opportunity to sin, and one more temptation. And I don't care who you are sitting in this room today, my friends, you have one more temptation at least coming to you. Because Satan is not going to leave you alone as long as you breathe the breath of life. Satan is going to come after you. Now we also need to understand this. Overcoming has nothing to do with the circumstances and the situations that we find ourselves in. In fact, it has everything to do with our commitment to God. You see, everyone has circumstances. Everyone faces situations in life. Bad things happen to all of us. But the key to overcoming is what you choose to do with the circumstances and the situations that happen in your life. You see, we are always presented with problems. Temptation will always be there right in our face, and we'll see it all the time. Discouragement and suffering is just around the corner. If it may be bothering you now. You see from our text what causes all this, at least I hope you did. What is it that we must overcome? What is this huge, terrible thing that we need to be able to overcome in life? The answer is simple. It is the world. We are to overcome the world. Christian friend, your problem, my problem, is the world. John is speaking here of Satan and his plans, his schemes. And he talks about the world being sin and its pleasures. The world is filled with hurt. The world is filled with pain and suffering. The world is filled with sensuality. The world is filled with selfish pleasure. The world is anything and everything that stands between you and the doing of God's will. Anything that the world can do to destroy your faith, it will. Because Satan is the king of the world. He is in control of worldly things. And he is going to do everything that he possibly can to put you into the world and to take you away from Christ. Anything that will weaken our faith, anything that will compromise our convictions, anything that will destroy and weaken our influence as Christians, it all comes from the world. The world will try to draw us away from God. It will try to squeeze us into its mold. It will try to confuse our value system, our Christianity, and discourage us from walking with God. And I don't have to tell you that every day we are surrounded by sin. We are surrounded by temptation. We are surrounded by suffering. But we need to take heart. Because remember what we are. We are overcomers. We are children of God. We are like all of those other names, one of them which is overcomer, and we can overcome the world with our faith. Our faith will give us the victory that will help us to overcome the world. There is another thing, though, that we as overcomers need to know. We must be willing to pay the price. You know, Satan would like for us to believe that the Christian life is easy. That there is nothing to living the Christian life. In fact, you know, we talked about the rich young ruler this morning. And how when Jesus told him that to do the commandments, that, and he thought he had it made because he was doing all of that. But then God, or Jesus, gave him something hard. Something that really bothered him because it was things that he had. Things that he loved. Things that he wanted to keep. And Jesus said, give them up. You see, Satan is looking at you and he's looking for that one thing that makes being a Christian hard for you. And that's what he's going to concentrate on. We have to be willing to pay that price. To give up these things. You know, it costs plenty to become overcomers. First of all, it costs us the love of the world. Scripture tells us that if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father. It is of the world. And you may say, well, Farron, that sounds really good coming from you out of your mouth. But you know, doing it is another thing. It is very hard. It is very difficult to give up the world in today's society. Because the world offers us so much. Paul tells us that we must learn to separate ourselves from these things. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, Paul said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And then he goes on to say in verse 17, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. We have to separate ourselves from this worldliness if we ever want to overcome it. Now Jesus tells us, I know you're in the world. I know you have to live here. I know you're a part of it. But you can be in the world and not be of the world. I would like to think that everyone in this world, in this room, is not of the world even though we're all in it. Because there is a big difference in being in the world and of the world. Make no mistake about it. The price of discipleship, the price of being an overcomer, the price of living a faith, a life, it's an awesome task. It's a hard task. It may seem at times to be an impossible task. But it is a price that we must be willing to pay. And then, an overcomer is one who will embrace the promises of God. I want you to listen to some of these promises from these passages I have on the screen. 1 John 1, verse 12. But as many as he received, to them he gave the right to become children of God. John 14, 1 through 3, and this again, I've told y'all, this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Paul tells us in Romans 8 and verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in Him we have our redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And as we have already read from our reading this morning, 1 John 5 and verse 4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has made some tremendous promises to you and I. And basically what all of these things are saying is that, Christian, you can overcome. Christian, you can win the battle against the world. Christian, you can win the fight against Satan. And you can have these mansions that I've gone to prepare. You can become children of God. You can receive no condemnation. And you can have redemption. And you can have victory. Jesus has, or God has promised us His presence. He has promised us His power. He has promised us His providence. And He has done so since the beginning of time. For example, Joseph. Joseph was in prison, but God saw to his release. The Israelites was in Egyptian slavery, but God delivered them. David was literally outgunned by Goliath, but God empowered him and gave him the victory. Daniel was trapped in the lion's den, but God rescued him. The people on the day of Pentecost were standing there before Peter with lost lives. And when they did what Peter told them to do, to repent and be baptized, their sins were forgiven. They were given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they were added to His church. And you know the great thing about all of this? He'll do the very same thing for you. You and I in this room today have the very same promise that God is going to be with us. His presence is here. He is going to show us His power because He can forgive you your sins when no one else can. And His providence is with us. He takes care of us every day that we live. My friends, there is no problem so great. There is no sin so bad that God's goodness, His loving mercy, His grace, His power cannot forgive and cannot overcome. And this morning, my friends, if you sit here an overcomer, it is because of the mercy and the love and the grace and the power of God. You didn't do it. God did. The question is, are you an overcomer? Do you possess within you overcoming qualities as a child of God? Do you have that kind of faith? I pray that we all have that kind of faith, that overcoming faith. This brings us to the final point. An overcomer is one who applies this principle of faith. Faith, our victory that overcomes the world. Those are beautiful words, isn't it? But what if they were just words? What if you just went around throughout your life saying, I have faith in God. I have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. I have faith in the church. But you did not apply that faith to your life. You just went around talking about it. You see, my friends, Christianity is an active faith. If you have a faith that overcomes the world, it is an active faith. It is a working faith. It is a getting up in the morning and getting the job done faith. It is not a sitting around faith. It is not a pointing your finger faith and saying, let someone else do it. We all get involved. We all work. We all carry out that work that God has given for us. Now, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Overcomers understand that to have an overcoming faith, there must be an element of obedience. That is something, my friends, that you are not going to hear on the TV this morning when all these religious preachers get up there. They're going to tell you how wonderful Christianity is, but they're not going to tell you how to obey God. They're not going to tell you to submit to God, to obey His Word. They're just going to tell you how good it is. But the fact of the matter is, my friends, there is some obedience involved in being an overcomer. You know, Jesus said it begins with belief. John 8, verse 24. Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Well, that's pretty easy, isn't it? I believe in God. I believe God. I believe in His Word. I believe in His Son. I believe in His church. That's an easy one, isn't it? Now you're in the same boat as the rich young ruler was. You got this part. But you know it doesn't end there. This overcoming faith requires a change. Now the next scriptures that you see are words from our Lord Jesus Christ, so you can't say they came from someone else. To have an overcoming faith, there must be an element of change. There must be an element of repentance. Luke 13:3, Jesus is speaking here, and He said, "But nay, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." You want to be an overcomer? You got to make a change. You're walking in a direction that you don't need to walk. You need to turn around and go the other way. That's change. That's repentance. Well, okay. That's a little harder. But I can do that. I can put God higher in my life. I can do that. But, you know, it doesn't stop here. To have that overcoming faith means that you are going to basically pledge your allegiance to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you are going to acknowledge before men that I do pledge my allegiance to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Now, not only do we have to know it, not only do we have to believe it, we've got to tell people about it. We've got to let people know that I have made a change. We've got to let people know that I believe in God, that I am turning away from the world, and now I am giving my life to the Lord. Now it's getting harder. Because you see, I love the world and the things that are in it. And it's hard to give it up. But the overcoming faith will give up the world and confess Christ. But you know, we're still not done. An obedient, overcoming faith will complete his faith. This command comes from our Lord. Now, we can twist around the words of Paul, and we can twist around the words of Peter, but we can't twist around the words of God. "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." No, the water birth is not the fleshly birth on the day that you were born. You've already done that. That didn't put you into the kingdom. The kingdom of God comes from a two-part work, water and Spirit. Baptized, immersed, water, God gives you the Spirit. Go back to Acts 2:38. That's what happened there. Go throughout the book of Acts, from Acts 1 to Acts 22. It's all there. Every time you see a conversion, it's there. It is something that the overcomer must put into his life. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. Mark 16:15-16. "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned." Matthew's account. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." It's all there. These are the things the overcomer must put into his life. But then it's interesting to note that Matthew takes it one step farther. In his writing of the Great Commission, it also includes verse 20, which says, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." He is opening up another element here. Not only to be an overcomer must you do these things, an overcomer will continue in these things. And that's why Jesus is telling us here through the hand of Matthew, you need to teach these people how to do that. It's not enough to take them out and get them to believe, get them to change their life, get them to confess Christ, and get them to be baptized into Christ. They have to keep on keeping on. You need to teach them to observe all things. It's a never-ending process. We must walk with Him daily. We cannot give it up. John echoes these words in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. He talks about the children of God. He talks about the child of God acknowledging his sins. He talks about the child of God walking in the light as He is in the light. And He talks about the God that will faithfully forgive our sins with the blood of Jesus. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, continues to cleanse us time and time and time again. This is the kind of faith, John says, that overcomers have. This is the kind of faith that leaves no stone unturned. This is the kind of faith that will take you from the beginning of your faith to the completion of your faith, which, by the way, none of us are there yet. The completion of our faith is when we draw our last breath. So we have a ways to go, don't we? Or at least we hope we do. It is a never-ending battle. And even though we have done these things, Satan is still going to knock on our door. And that's why Matthew says we need to teach these people how to continue, how to develop, how to grow, how to be what God wants you to be. Show them how to do it. Teach them how to do it so that they can do it too. Now, my question this morning is, are you an overcomer? Do you have what it takes to become an overcomer? Are you this disciple, this believer, this child of God, this Christian? If you're not, you can be. We can help you this morning to do just that. To give your life to the Lord through obedience to His Word. I've told you how. And now it's just up to you. You can be an overcomer. Christian friend, if you're not overcoming, you need to look at your life again. You need to look at the mistakes that you have made, the ways that you have fallen short, and rededicate your life and turn yourself back around and live for Him. Remember, you are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And to be an overcomer, you must put on Christ. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.